Have you seen the sign? Sign, sign, everywhere a sign. Blocking out the scenery, breaking my mind. Do this, do that. Can't you read the sign? Les Emerson, 1971, Canada's iconic rock band, five-man electrical band. What a name, five-man electrical band. And Les Emerson is absolutely right. Think about that, those of you who are my age. Their biggest hit was absolutely right. And I'll give you a money-back guarantee that he was absolutely right. Another one of their hit songs. Google five-man electrical band this week if you want a real treat. Signs, signs, everywhere a sign. My estimation is you have likely passed 100 signs already this morning. A little project for you this week as well. Count the number of signs between your house and the church. And I think you will be staggered when you take a look at all the traffic signs. There are all kinds of them on the roadways. There are signs on stores. There's signs at bus stops. There's even a sign outside of our church. There are even signs in the church. Signs, signs, everywhere there are signs. There are signs that are helpful. There are signs that capture our sense of humor. Touching wires causes instant death, $200 fine. Church of the Cross, don't let worries kill you, let the church help. The church always good to do their part. Please be safe, do not stand, sit, climb, or lean on fences. If you fall, animals could eat you, and that might make them sick. Thank you. I love this one. Wash and vacuum senior citizens, $15.95. Okay? Never mind the dog, beware the owner. Burger King. Not work for a king, not for a clown. Think about Burger King and their friends at McDonald's. This is a good one for kids. Scream until daddy stops the car and go in for a treat at Dairy Queen. Have you seen the sign? There's funny signs. There are lots of Christmas signs. When I reminisce about Christmas, I cannot help but remember our old sign in front of the church. Is it only me that's nostalgic about that old broken down sign that used to be in front of our church? By default, for a couple of years, I ended up doing the sign. It was not a fun job. I would argue one of the worst jobs there has ever been at Byron Community Church. There was an old plastic covering over the sign, and to get into the sign, you had to balance that large, cumbersome plastic either on the back of your shoulders, on the back of your neck, as you tucked inside. The letters were another story. We didn't have enough letters. We couldn't get replacement letters. Have you ever tried to spell Christmas with one S? It's not easy to do. And I think of one season in particular. People said, don't bother changing the sign, but how can you have a Christmas Eve service without a sign out front? So it was a snowy winter. I got up on the snowbank. I have the plastic covering balanced on the back of my neck, on my shoulders, and all of a sudden I went down that snowbank and was buried in snow to my neck. And you wonder why I loathe snow. I think that's where it began. Now we've got a very attractive sign out front, and we're very grateful to Karsten, Josh, and Pat Finch for the work they do on the Visibility Committee. And I love that slogan, let this Christmas Eve be the beginning of your new year. And we're hoping that many will join us tonight and celebrate in that way. But, you know, if somebody asked me what's the greatest Christmas sign of all, I would be tempted to point to this sign, and you're familiar with it. It's captured in a statement from Luke 2. This will be the sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped up and lying in a manger. And we know that this is based on the previous verse in Luke's account where the angel tells the shepherds, "Today a Savior is born to you, the Lord in Bethlehem. This will be a sign," and the sign being a unique, a very special sign. I would propose to you that the manger was the sign for the shepherds that very first Christmas. I have three things to tell you about the manger and how it functioned as a sign. First of all, the manger proves. Zechariah, we looked at him briefly the first Sunday in December, he asked for a sign. He asked for proof. And God gave him proof. Not what he expected, but he lost the ability to speak right up until his son John was born. That was a sign. That was evidence. That was proof for Zechariah. Mary was given a sign. She was told by the angel, even Elizabeth is going to have a child. That was proof. That was evidence for her that God would do the impossible with her. I'm sure if the shepherds had asked, how can we know this baby is the Messiah? And how will we find this child? The angel said, look for the sign. Look for the indicator that this is the Christ child. Look for the manger. We had a sign here at Byron Community Church this month. We began this Christmas version series of Life's Big Questions with a message on Mary, who asked, how can this be? And the angel replied, it can be because all things are possible with God, for nothing is impossible with him. The very next Sunday, we looked at Joseph, and Josh looked at the question, how can we believe? What's the basis for belief? And again, we discovered how our God is a powerful God, a God of miracles. So what was the proof? Little did I know, little did any of us know, that that week between the message on Mary and the message on Joseph, there would be an explosive series in the London Free Press on a young woman who was drowned for some 27 hours and was rescued and came back to life. This young woman, Ashlyn Krell, is a miracle story. Not only that, can you believe the amount of scripture in our local newspaper over a period of 1 week? It's very rare in this day and age where in a local paper you have the front page saturated with scripture. Hallelujah! That is God at work. That is a miracle. Ashlyn Krell is doing well. Talked to Glenn Kernahan and Catherine Kernahan. Her husband was in the Power to Change London chapter. Ashlyn herself was part of the Queen's University chapter. But a living example to us that our God still does miracles. A sign that is proof, that is evidence to us. A manger also points. A manger proves, a manger points. It's been said with a dog that if you point your finger to an object, your dog will not focus on that object. He will stay focused on your finger. And a lot of us are like dogs. We look at the sign, but we tend to stay focused on the sign, and we don't focus on what it's pointed to. The focus challenge is we need to not stay focused on the manger, but the baby in the manger. There's people today who have what we call manger or creche, which is the another word for manger or nativity scenes. There's people obsessed with them, collect them, and nothing against that, provided we go beyond the manger and take a hard look at the baby in the manger. Just in the same way, there's a danger when the focus is on the miracle and not on the miracle maker, our Lord Jesus. When the focus is on Christmas and not the Christ of Christmas. When the focus is on the carols that we sing instead of the child we sing about. When the focus is on the Christ child alone and not on the man, Christ Jesus, who is the mediator between man and God, who came to live as a man, to die for our sins, and make it possible for us to be reconciled to God. I am all for Christmas. But let's always remember that Bethlehem points to Calvary. You don't have Calvary and what Christ did there without Bethlehem. But Bethlehem is only pure nostalgia without the reality of what happened at Calvary when Christ died for us. So a manger points. As a boy, my ball team was not the Toronto Blue Jays. The Toronto Blue Jays were not in existence. My favorite team was the Boston Red Sox. There was a first baseman, George Scott. You remember the outfielder, Carl Yastrzemski. And I remember in particular being fascinated with the Green Monster. Have you ever heard of the Green Monster? If you haven't, you can look it up. It's a very famous outfield fixture at the Boston Fenway Park. As a family, we took a family trip to Cape Cod. And my dad said, as a treat, we would go to Fenway Park. Now, what you need to know is we never went in Fenway Park. We never saw a game at Fenway Park. It is on my bucket list. Right, Ron? We've talked about that. And we're planning a church trip next summer to Fenway Park in Boston. But I got a picture outside of Fenway Park. And I treasured that picture for years. Me and the family standing beside this big, big sign saying Fenway Park. But that's as far as we went. I never went in Fenway Park. I never experienced a game in Fenway Park. And one of my concerns this Christmas season is you may experience all the trappings of Christmas. And they're good things, like family and food and fun. But until you have that personal encounter with Christ, there is something missing. The manger proves, it points, and finally, the manger is personal. I've explored this phrase in depth over the last few days. This will be the sign for you. Most of us have different ideas of the manger, that this feeding trough for animals signifies to us the humanity of Jesus, his great humility in coming to earth. It signifies for us the obedience of Mary and Joseph. All of this is true. But in Scripture, we're specifically told the main purpose of the manger. This will be the sign for you. Did you ever think of that? That the manger is not so much for Mary and Joseph's sake, but it was for the sake of the shepherds. The shepherds who were ordinary men, who were the outcasts of society, were given this special opportunity to experience the Christ child up close and personal, but more than that, they would be the first missionaries, the first evangelists spreading and sharing the good news that today a Savior is born to you. The sign for the shepherds was the manger. It wasn't reading here, this will be the sign for you. You will find a manger. And oh, by the way, a baby will be in it. No, you will find the baby. And the baby will be in a manger. So what's the sign for you? Maybe this Christmas it'll be a Bible verse that will have special meaning and significance. Maybe it will be a carol that you sing or that we sing, maybe even tonight, and the words will come afresh through the Holy Spirit to you. Maybe it will be an experience with family and friends. Maybe it will be a conversation, but the invitation holds true. Go and see. Go and see what the sign is pointing to, what the sign proves. Today is born to you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. May this Christmas we be most aware of the signs. Have you seen the signs that point to Jesus Christ? I'm going to ask Rick and the worship team to come at this time. And let's just, as they come, we're going to sing. So stand with us before we sing our final carol. So what's going to happen is you're not going to be able to help yourself. The next few days, you're going to be counting the number of signs. I just can tell it. It's how we're wired. But as you're counting the signs and you're looking at all the signs, remember the sign that was given to the shepherds. And may that spark in you the desire to think again of what that sign was pointing to, what all the signs that Christ provides us point to. And so, Father, we thank you for the opportunity we've had this morning to remember and celebrate the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, you came from heaven to earth. And we celebrate that you came as a baby. The Word became flesh. It's too much for us to comprehend and to take in. But Jesus, we don't leave you in the crib. We take it further and we go to the cross, where we see you dying for our sins, taking our place, doing something for us that we couldn't do for ourselves. And the signs point us to the crown. And Jesus, you are elevated, highly lifted up. And one day every knee will bow and every tongue confess that you are Lord. Jesus, in a day and age where Christmas is being pushed out of the center of life, where your name, Jesus, is not mentioned a lot, even this time of year, we celebrate you. We rejoice in who you are. We give you honor. We glorify your holy name. Jesus, you are coming again. Your first time you came as a baby. The next time you're going to be coming as the powerful one who holds the reins and the authority of heaven and earth. Jesus, what a privilege it is. And I pray that the spirit of this morning will permeate through this day, that we will have a glorious and powerful Christmas Eve service this afternoon. And we ask this in your name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.